Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, Pete, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, great. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio Network. Our purpose here on Journey to Success Radio is to interview people that are making a difference in the world. We'll explore many important aspects and areas of life, including spiritual, physical, mental, relationships, disabilities, and many other topics. Our broadcast team so far consists of Michael Collins, Taylor Tagg, Tom Too Tall Cunningham, Ray Standell, Tracy Montgomery, and myself. My name is Dave Yablecki. And our broadcast team here at Journey to Success Radio Network share a common trait in that we all follow Napoleon Hill's 17 Principles to Success. Now, information about our broadcast team can be found on our website, which is www.healthyinbodyandmind.com. And if anyone wishes to call in with questions during today's show, our guest call-in phone number is 718-766-4453. And this morning, I'm very excited and honored to feature actor, comedian, and professional entertainer, Mr. Pete DiLorenzo. Good morning, Pete, and welcome to Journey to Success Radio.
Morning, Dave. How are you, sir?
I'm awesome today. How are you?
Great. Busy, always busy, but it's an honor to do this interview with you, and my regards to Sir Tom Cunningham, who is a devout disciple as well of Napoleon Hill's works, and it's an honor to be here with you today on the air.
Well, thank you, Pete. It's an honor to have you. Just want to get started with our first question. How long, Pete, have you been an entertainer?
Well, this June it'll be 41 years, God bless. I started out early in my career, right out of high school, technically. I was, you know, a class clown and a guy that made people laugh at parties and went, threw myself into, I guess you would say, Hell's Kitchen and pounded the pavement of New York City, the fine city of New York, which gave me my start. And I began my career in 1971. By, I would say, 1978, I became a feature act. And by early, mid-80s, by 85, 86, I was already a nationally known headliner. And all by the grace of God and a lot of hard work and determination. I was actually a singer before I became a comic and an actor. And in my family, my mother was a country singer. She was in a trio with two other gals. So, you know, I started very at a tender age in my life. Inspiration and desire to become an entertainer.
Well, that's interesting. It's funny how you got started at such a young age when, you know, youngsters like that, are most of them are wanting to be a fireman or a cowboy.
Yeah, and I'm sure every child, you know, like I can remember in grade school, it's a very interesting point you brought out, you know, she would ask, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I says, well, that's when and if I ever grow up. but I said, you know, yeah, everybody has a desire. I think at that time, you know, I thought of a truck driver. I thought of many different aspects. Broadcasting, which I did for a time in my career. There were many different goals. But I kind of knew at a tender age, which I had an experience where my dad took me to an Italian feast when I was young. I was 6 and a half going on 7. And I was at an Italian feast and you know, heard the music of Elvis playing, which was, I'm sure, an inspiration to many people. So growing up, grew up with his music, was inspired. And I looked out at the audience, and my father was kind of egging me on because, you know, I did an impression of Elvis as a child. Maybe not the voice wasn't totally on the money, but the moves and everything. And it was, you know, I was my son, you know, kind of proud kind of deal and egging me on. So I went into the routine, and there were people gathering around me, which, you know, it's not about money. You're a child. You have no concept of what money is. But I saw that I was putting a smile on their faces, and they enjoyed it. I looked out at that crowd at that tender age and says, this is what I want to do. I want to make people happy. I want to entertain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. It's funny.
Mom's brother, my uncle Dave, my mom's brother wrote Roy Acuff and Chet Atkins, so there was a strong roots of country and R&B, and, you know, that's why I appreciate all the oldies from the 60s and 70s, which were the pioneers of our music today, which those songs had merit, continuity, not a lot of the music today, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many aspects to our industry, but yeah, that's where it started, when I was a little top.
Well, that's an admirable start, you know, just getting a thrill and sheer delight from putting a smile on people's faces and you know, that being your prime motivation, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's the key. That is what really, you know, today, and there's many aspects, I'm sure if we had a lot of time we could cover it, that'd be another whole show, but a lot today I think people's desires and goals for going into any vocation or profession, especially in the entertainment industry, we see a lot of it that they're motivated by the bling, the glamour, the glitter, the fame, and that's not the reason to do it. You have to love what you do, do what you love, which is one of the principles that Napoleon Hill teaches us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
God, and let him direct our path. So I guess, you know, there are many things. I mean, even I could have been a pastor, a clergyman, but the word of God lives in me every day. I don't need to stand on a pulpit to be proud of the gospel of Christ, which lives within me, and his word and his guidance in everything that we say and do, you know. So, but definitely I was given this talent by God, and thereby he says, don't put our talents under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick. There's light unto the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing when you can follow where God leads.
And that was one main thing that our hero, Mr. Napoleon Hill, based his whole life and career on, and this was the key to his success.
Mm-hmm.
Golden rule of treating others as we would want to be treated.
Absolutely, yeah. And you touched on Napoleon Hill, so I take it you've read his book, Think and Grow Rich.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a library of many of his books. I've always been an avid follower, a disciple, if you will, of his writings and many other great authors, but he is on top of the list, and I was very honored to be published in his newsletter, his Worldwide Internet Newsletter, yesterday and today. Tom has had many articles in there as well, and very honored to have that published on a piece that I wrote on what denotes being a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's quite an honor to be mentioned by such a famous author as Napoleon Hill. Pete, what other books or people that you've come across have made the biggest impact on you and your success thus far?
I would say, well, naturally the Bible, which is the blueprint of our life, and God gives us, you know, the ways that we should live and the instructions and how we should go about our lives and what is pleasing to him and what he requires of us. And I would say there's a lot of great authors. I followed some of the writings of Norman Vincent Peale, Og Mandino, so many great, great authors that are self-help books. There are, many, many out there that I feel are very inspirational, uplifting, and good for people to make a cornerstone, you know, of their lives.
Mm-hmm. And, Pete, I see here on your biography you've recently written the screenplay for an upcoming feature film entitled The Mentor, and you've also launched your own reality TV show entitled Oh, for Pete's Sake.
Oh, for Pete's Sake is a recently new project through the creator and director, great director, great writer, great producer, Guillermo Heredia, and also his assistant producer, Mario Rizzuto. And they had approached me, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, they had approached me with reality shows. Oh, come on, you know, there's so many reality shows out there, and they're all copying each other, and it's all a lot of nonsense and crazy stuff that, you know, people take pleasure in seeing other people's pain, controversy, and these are things that happen in life, but they stretch it. They take it to the extreme where the public today wants to see violence or somebody slapping someone around or alcohol or drugs involved. And I said, that's not me. So, and all of those shows are predominantly, most of them, scripted out. And then I said, but you got something there. If we're going to give them reality, let's give them reality. And these two gentlemen are very creative. And Guillermo Willie, is a friend of mine for 15 years and a colleague, very talented, very gifted editor, special effects, and we sat down, we talked, and I says, you know what, I'll do it with you on the recognizance of that we keep it real. No, nothing scripted. I mean, you may have to structure what you're going to shoot on this day and that day, but nothing scripted. Any dialogue that leaves my mouth or anyone else has to be the real deal, because then we could put the stamp on it and say it's reality. And it would be, in a way, complimentary and a preface to my film, The Mentor, which is loosely based on my life and career. It's not a biography, an autobiography, but people, places, events, and things that I've lived. The highs, the lows, the ups, the downs, the struggles to achieve your goals in life and how to go about them. And that's what's advocated in the film as well, is to love what you do, do what you love, do it uprightly. Walk with God. Don't step on anyone's toes. Don't stab anyone in the back. And give it your all. And, you know, there will be sacrifice and ramifications that come with it. And you will eventually, you know, keep throwing spaghetti against the wall. It's got to stick sooner or later. And, you know, that's what's going into the film. And the other aspect of the film is that if you love someone or your family, your loved ones, your spouse, don't just talk about it. Show it every day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Being put into
this.
And the reality show is just like, you know, wow, that's just complimenting it all, too. So we're hoping, you know, it's going before Hollywood. And, of course, it's going to be their decision. We've got very good hopes on this of it being picked up. And the film, yeah, I wrote that. I actually wrote it several years ago, then went back in and kind of edited, you know, Dave as I went along, because there was, you know, you couldn't put in every single event or road story or experience in your life and career. And there were rewrites, as in any script writer. And then finally I did my final draft. There were write-ins. There was portions that I edited. And finished script. So here we are, 14 and a half year labor of love. The hardest part was securing the funds, which, by the grace of God, I could say I'm extremely close now. And again, I lift that up to him, that he will part the Red Sea, if you will, and make this happen and bring it to fruition. But we're very, very close now. But it took 14 and a half years to get this baby it is right now.
Wow, that's... That's an amazing story. This your reality show, will it be? Will we see it on any of the major TV networks in the very near future?
Yeah, it's going before major people in Hollywood. And as I said, if they decide to pick it up, then it will be carried by a national major cable network. There's so many. There's Bravo, there's USA, there's E! Channel. So it will be carried by one of the major cable networks. That's our hopes. I mean, I don't see it going to network TV like The Apprentice or a show like that. But, you know, cable TV, you got Showtime, Cinemax, HBO, all of these other channels. So, yeah, it would be along the lines. There's so many reality shows out there. But we want this one to stand out from the crowd and give them, you know, uplift, enlighten. They'll see the natural, if you will, controversy, the daily grind, the highs, the lows. You know, they've been following me around with a camera, everything but maybe to the shower or the bathroom, but they're catching Pete DiLorenzo's every day in the office, away from the stage, on the stage, people in my life, my lovely fiance Rochelle, you know, every day that what goes on in the mechanics of this entertainment world, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I had said, you know, it's interesting, I didn't mean to, I had said, you know, well, what's going to be so interesting about the life and times of Pete DiLorenzo? Who's going to want to tune into this? Who's going to want to, you know, watch the show? And that's why we want to give them a product that is going to make them white-knuckled waiting for the next episode and give them something with substance that's going to entertain them, it's going to educate them, uplift them, as well as, you know, they're going to see the real deal. You know, if I'm having a rough day and, you know, you're venting, we all do it. Or you just, you know, you're dealing with certain people that, you got the good and the bad. You got the Darth Vaders, you know, the dark side, and then you've got the productive, positive people. And that's who in life I choose to break bread with, you know. In personal and in business, you want to deal with positive people. And again, back to Napoleon Hill, and foremost our Lord Jesus Christ, is that he says, you know, you turn the other cheek, you walk the extra mile. You ask of your coat, give him your cloak also. But then there does sometimes, unfortunately, in life, come a point where you have to draw the line, shake the dust off your feet, be at peace with everyone, but it doesn't necessarily mean you can let them take you down or you know, break bread with people outside the camp, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
No more than we would go amongst unbelievers that do not believe in God, no more than you're going to want to do business or deal personally in life with someone that, maybe their scruples or their morals or their business ethics are not correct, you know?
Mm-hmm. The reality shows that are currently on TV, Pete, what's your opinion on them? Like, are they really reality or are they heavily scripted or...
I my honest opinion, as a screenwriter, as a producer, I know for a fact that most of them, I would say... I mean, some of them are just a little bit scripted, you know, or they're... But I would say the majority of them, what people are seeing, like when they tune into a soap opera, and I know this from experience that actors who have always played a bad guy, per se, film,
mm-hmm.
way back to your Humphrey Bogarts or James Cagney's, or where they played a lot of, you know, and today you got a lot of people playing wise guy roles like Pesci, De Niro played, they played good guys, but predominantly, you know, when you get stereotyped, I'm just using this as an example or metaphor, that you're playing a certain role, people stereotype you. like Charles Bronson when he did all the Death Wish films, and Clint Eastwood, all the cowboy films. So, you know, you get a stereotype. Soap operas have done that with people where a person can bump into a star on the street and actually verbatimly believe and think that they're like that in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing happens on a lot of these reality shows. I had an actress, believe it or not, that was on my film project. She kind of strayed away. She went AWOL. She had a lot of different things on her plate, and sometimes that happens. But she was a very, very lovely lady and very talented. And in fact, she had worked for the Pentagon. And she was doing some photography work in magazines and stuff. But make a long story short, she was on The Bachelor. And I could safely say this, that she couldn't even have contact with her family. The producers would not let her make any calls. They were instructed what to say. And when she got jilted from the show by The Bachelor, you know, and he picked someone else, she was instructed and coached to break down and cry. So we know that these are structured, scripted. So to me, that's not reality.
Give
me
the
illusion. And ironically, you know, Dave, people, it seems the public, I would not say the majority, but, or maybe, yeah, and it's sadly that the majority rules it. It seems like people want to see other people's pain and hardship because maybe they think that it takes some load off of their own life, but they're living in an illusion watching something like that. When you go and see a film, you know special effects, you know it's not real. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that's the escape, the excitement, the adrenaline, whether it's an action yarn, whatever, a bang-bang shoot-em-up movie. The type of movies I make is something that's going to have entertainment, but also give people, like those people during World War II and the Great Depression that paid that nickel or dime to go in and see a film. What'd they see? Musicals or patriotic films that uplifted while bombs were being dropped and our country was at war. So we don't want to give them bang-bang shoot-em-up and violence and things like that. I think people are tired of it. So if someone's going to turn on their TV set and watch a reality show, I don't think they want to see somebody arguing, fighting, slapping someone around, drugs and alcohol involved, lies, deception, because, you know what, is that reality that these things do go on in life? Absolutely. But is that entertaining? Especially when you're taking something that might be partially true and then they're just going to totally distort it and go wide with it and say, oh, well, this is what they want. They want this juicy stuff, and that's entertainment. To me, that's not entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm from the old school, but I don't find that entertaining. But a lot of people do.
No, you're absolutely right, Pete. A lot of people do get entertained by the dark side of human nature, like the violence and drugs and promiscuous sex. And but, you know, like the song by Don Henley, Give Us Dirty Laundry.
Yeah, you know, and come on, we're all guilty as charged that. You know, we may have watched a murder mystery or this, but it seems like that's all that's being perpetuated now is the guns, the violence, the sex, the drugs, and I don't mean to sound like a prude. I mean, I'm a filmmaker, and I study the work of others, and there is a genre for every type of film. There's horror flicks out there, there's comedies, there's musicals, where there should be more musicals. You know, and the great days of the old Hollywood is what I pin towards. What leaves more to the imagination? No, they got to put skin and sex and everything into films and be very graphic. Whereas when we went back to Bogie and Bacall and Katharine Hepburn and Humphrey, Katharine Hepburn and drawing a blank right now because I'm so tired.
Yeah, I know who you mean.
And Spencer Tracy.
Gregory Peck.
Like, you know, it left so much of more of a romance and so much more of an ambiance and so much of a flavor of mystery and romance rather than to be so graphic and explicit as they are today. Because in their minds, they think that's what sells. And they're finding a lot of it backfiring in their face now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. One of my favorite movies of all time, and this has not changed, is On Golden Pond.
Oh, great movie. Absolutely.
I mean, that to me, that's a classic. You know, there's emotion. There's real...
Look at the science you had in that film. I mean, you know, Henry Fonda and Katharine Hepburn and Jane Fonda, you know, in real life, she drew for her role on that. She said that, you know, in real life, her father was always busy with his career, not intentionally, but maybe didn't get as much time to spend with her and her brother as he wished. And there was a little slight resentment, she says, and when she played that role in the film, she drew from that real life pain or emotions, and it worked. See, that's method act. She drew from real life.
Yeah, and that's what made that movie such a success. It was real and genuine, and you could feel the raw, honest emotion coming forth across the screen.
My favorite line in there, one of them, was when Katharine Hepburn said to Jane, you know, mother and daughter conversation, she says, "Oh, Norman's just like an old a lion who likes to hear himself roar."
yeah, that
I do women impressions too, not too many of them, but
that was good. That was good.
Great example of the old Hollywood and Henry Fonda and actors like that. They just don't make anymore, you know.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, Pete, if a young person came up to you in the street today and said, you know, they wanted to get into the entertainment industry, as a veteran, what words of wisdom would you give that person?
Wow, that's a very, very great question. You know, I've been asked that sometimes in different manners. And I would have to say, first off, love what you do. Be totally committed to it, as in anything in life. I mean, if you're going to be committed to God, you cannot serve two masters. And therefore, if it's a career, a profession that you choose, research what you're doing, learn, be a sponge, be an open book to others, spread the knowledge, impart it to others, share it. Stay away from substances, which is any person's downfall, whether in the arts or out of the arts. I would direct them to stay away from substances. Just stay focused. And despite the odds, despite even when you fall and you fail, failure doesn't mean you're a failure. You dust yourself off and you get back up again. Fight. And there are great examples of that throughout many people's careers, in the arts or not. Thomas Edison, how many times he failed at the light bulb, and he says, "I did it until I got it right." I believe it was like something like 10,000 attempts. Alexander Graham Bell. These were people that were actually mocked and scorned, and they thought they were crazy. And yet they followed and pursued their dream. We would not have electricity. We would not be on the air right now. We would not have phones. We would not have all the technology we have today if it were not for these pioneers. Da Vinci. In the arts, I mean, they told Lucille Ball, don't give up. I mean, quit your acting and dance classes. Do something else. They told Sidney Poitier, stay as a porter. You're going nowhere. They told Michael Jordan, they kicked him off of his high school basketball team. They told Walt Disney he didn't have an imagination. They told Vince Lombardi, you know nothing about the game of football. And the list goes on and on. So these are, you know, Steve Jobs is an amazing man. Don't know. Way back when they did a piece for Apple, and it was back, I believe, in the 70s or early 80s, and it was a commercial where they showed many of the greats, as I mentioned, and a montage, and the dialogue over it, which is in his book, was a little paragraph that read, and I have it hanging on my wall and committed to memory, beautiful piece, and he said, "Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the troublemakers, the rebels, the square pegs in a round hole. They see things differently. They have no respect for the status quo. They defy the rules. You can quote them. You don't necessarily have to agree with them or even like them. You can glorify them or vilify them. Certainly cannot ignore them. They change things. They push the human race forward. Some see them as the crazy ones. They are the geniuses, all the ones thought to be crazy enough for trying to change the world. They are the ones that do." That's it.
So
all.
True.
I mean, right along, right up there with, you know, words of wisdom that Napoleon Hill has imparted to us and other greats. That's like, that should be engraved in stone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I remember reading, I don't remember who the author was, but I remember reading this years ago. If you want to be successful, find out what 97% of the people are doing and
there
do the exact opposite.
Yes, I'm familiar with that quote, and that is very true. It is very true. And that was brought out in many of Napoleon Hill's writings. It was a referral, and I forget who exactly did say that, but it was an amazing statement. Because, and you know, my grandfather always used to say, God rest his soul, a wonderful man full of wisdom. And my mom said, my grandpa, Giordano, and he used to say, you want to find the solution, find the cause first.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you find the cause, deal with it. Don't deviate away from it. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Don't make up excuses. Don't be complacent. But look it in the eye, and you go over it, under it, around it, or through it with God's help, but conquer it. But most people are their own worst enemies. They give up, or they push it aside, or they'll have negative comments like, I can't. Can't means won't. You know, so you must face it and deal with it. And it's not always easy because we're human. I have to be honest, there were many times where in your mind, in the back of your head, there's that little 2% where you say, oh, my God, this is never going to happen. And you get frustrated, but there's the 80, 90% saying, you're just saying that right now because you're frustrated. Put the pedal to the metal and keep on going forward. So I always let the positive overpower that little 2% or 1.5% that's going to be on your shoulder saying, this ain't going to happen. Give up. Let it go. Do something else. That's the negative. If we think that way, that's poison. That's toxic.
Absolutely. And finally, Pete, what does the future hold for you? Where do you see yourself in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I always say my future is in God's hands. I always pray for good health and long life and for those around me, loved ones, family, friends, colleagues, my industry. And the sky's the limit. You know, I mean, I want to do it all and... As I said, I'm a comedian, established, an actor, screenwriter, producer, director. Now, the pinnacle of my career now, as a screenwriter and producer, I'm the new kid on the block. But, you just want to cover all the mediums, if you will, of your craft. And I've been very blessed, and I'm utilizing that. So, there are 15 songs I have as works in progress to get into the recording studio. There are other scripts that I have. There will no doubt, which I did not plan, believe it or not, but I'm planning on, with the success, God willing, of The Mentor, there will be a sequel, which will kind of pick up and maybe go chronologically back in deeper prior to the first one. It'll go like kind of like what they did with The Godfather. It went into the early Marlon Brando, who played Vito Corleone, and they had De Niro play the part of him as a younger man. So, I mean, I could easily draw on just things that have happened in my real life in the last 4 or 5 years in the making of this film, The Mentor, and include that into the sequel, part two, which is in the works. And at least about 5 or 6 other scripts that I have, a teleplay, this beautiful reality show that we're doing. So, it's in God's hands. The sky's the limit. I want to touch the lives of others with an impact so that I can motivate them to think and feel and live their lives and maybe not only inspire their lives, but that they could turn around and motivate or mentor and inspire others.
Mm-hmm. And, Pete, you mentioned that you have a number of songs that you have written. How would you classify your music?
I would say the genre of my music would be ballads or contemporary light rock, but there's a lot of touch of country and R&B, which, is the roots of our music, soul and R&B and country. I'm not any one particular. I'm not a pop artist. I'm not a country. I'm a blend, I would say, of all of the above, which has inspired me. Most of my songs are about life and are ballads. I wrote one for the letter carriers. It's called Ode to the Letter Carrier, and the Postmaster General of my town, I did a charity for a postal letter carrier that was dying of cancer, and his wife was diagnosed as well. They were both battling cancer, and then both of them had passed away. And the night I was on stage performing that charity is when the gentleman had passed. Postmaster General said, that is absolutely beautiful, and that should be like a theme song for all the post offices across the United States. And I was like, wow, that would be an honor. That's like getting your picture on a stamp, So that is an option. I wrote another one about a train that comes right up the middle of my street that is historical. You don't see much of that other than the trolley cars in San Francisco, where this is an actual cargo train which carries cargo and debris, and it comes right up the middle of the road. Traffic stops. Everybody stops on a dime. And I wrote a song about that. It's called The Big Black Iron Horse. I've written love songs, ballads, things of that nature. So that would be the genre of my music. Songs that will, when you open a good book, Dave, it's immortalized. We can take that book down from the shelf and read it again and again. When you listen to a good song, same thing. We can listen to certain songs to remember where we were, or the girl you were dating, or if you were in high school, or like when tragic things have happened even. Songs bring back good and bad memories, touch our minds and heart. And the same thing with a film. So, everything that I put my hand to, try to have motive behind it, besides just that, it's monetarily, it puts a roof over my head, food on my table, it's my livelihood, but or more to reach, like I said, the minds and hearts of motivate them to think and feel, and then take that love, like the Bible says, get knowledge, and with knowledge, get understanding, comprehend what you're reading, and then it says, with understanding, get wisdom, apply it. So third is probably the hardest for most people. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You could comprehend it. But to put it into action and put it daily in your life, a lot of people have a problem with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pete, I see in your biography, quite some time ago, you received a citation, the President's Volunteer Action Award for Humanitarianism, awarded to you by late President Ronald Reagan. That's quite an honor. Tell me some more about that.
Yeah, I tell you, that was a chapter in my life. There are many. That was a chapter in my life. Of course, you know, I'm a firm believer that if you're going to do good, put that out into the world, you don't do it for the wrong motives. I have all my life, you know, whether you were successful or monetarily successful in life, but all my life I've given to whether one-on-one or to, you know, worthwhile and worthy organizations. I've supported Jerry Lewis with MDA through the years. I was national spokesperson for Healing the Children for 2 years, where we helped children from all over the world, third world countries, war-torn countries, Dominican Republic, New Mexico, China, Japan, all over. And, you know, it was an honor to have that position, and gave a lot of my time and my heart. And, you know, never did I expect that. They hit me with that while we were on the news at Kennedy Airport in New York City, receiving 101 children for 2 years in a row. In the first year, in May of 1987 and then 88, I served as spokesperson. And there they hit me with a voluntary action award for humanitarianism from former President Reagan, which is truly an honor. Things proudly on my wall. And never would have dreamed that was going to happen. I've been honored by Congress. I've been honored by a lot of people. And, you know, you do it from your heart. And God does bring good things back to you. I'd be a liar to say that.
Mm-hmm.
It was an honor to receive that. But you don't do it for those reasons. I've helped children and elderly people, even one-on-one. There was a little girl that I reached out to that was dying because she only had one kidney, and that kidney was shutting down. And got her on the list and flew her out to St. Louis, Missouri, and by the grace of God, that child is alive and well today. So people say, oh, that was great what you did, Peter. I said, no, I didn't do that. God did it. I was just an instrument in his hands.
Absolutely, right. Well, Pete, I think it's really admirable for someone as busy as you with all your projects and, you know, to be able to give so much back to the community. But like you said, if it comes from the heart, it can never be wrong.
Absolutely. And Dave, you know, that's a big thing you just said right there, very profound again, is that I feel, and I know you're on the same page, that, you know, Jesus said, as you freely receive, freely give. Napoleon Hill has backed that up and advocated in all his writings and works. So, you know, we got to give back. Most people, you know, I one time was, just for the sake of point, I was scoffed by an individual like, oh, you got to worry about number one. Worry about you. What are you worried about all of these charities? And I says, you know what? That's a very shallow thing to say. It has no depth whatsoever. I says, and I say that not facetiously. I says, you tell me that if it was your wife laying on a deathbed, ill with a terminal disease, or your kid in a wheelchair, then you come back to me and you say that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I says, I look at it that, you know, I had one said on a talk show when they asked me, well, you're a comedian, you're an impressionist, you're an actor, you're a recording artist, which do you love the most? And I answered very abruptly without having to think, because you never know exactly what questions are going to be asked, same as this interview. You know, so I said, well, how do I love one above the other? They're all mediums of my craft. That would be like as if I had children. You can't love one more than the other. You love them equally.
Absolutely.
When I go on that stage and make people laugh, I see the mother out there with a child that's sick. I see the truck driver or blue-collar or white-collar worker that just lost his job. People going through the economic times today and hardship, and, you know, it's affecting everyone. And I see, you know, the couple going through a divorce or a separation, and I use these as examples that when I go there, I give my all to making them laugh for that hour, or going onto that recording studio and giving my all to my music, stepping onto that set and breathing life into a character. So it's the same way in life, that we don't go out there and latch onto a charity because we need the press or the media, or because we want the attention, or because we want the packs that's on the back, and the adoration or the glorification or the notoriety. We do it from our heart or don't do it at all. So that's just my way of giving back to my community, to my country, to the world.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Well, Pete, are there any last-minute things you'd like to mention or little gems of wisdom you'd like to impart to our audience?
Well, that's again, another good point, and I don't get on. I tell everyone, you know, I'm not a priest, a minister, a rabbi. I'm not a politician. I'm not an activist, but I am a humanitarian. And I would just advocate all your fine listeners to turn to, you know, this is the message again going into my film and through my music and everything that I do, is that life is very short. Life is very precious. So therefore, whether it's your friends or most your family, of that, first of all, God, your coworker, the guy who lives across the street from you, let's stop the hatred, stop the prejudice, stop the violence, and all join hands and make nice and play and get along and try and make this world a better world. Let's see and do what we could say or do to help each other instead of being at war or controversy. Let's clean up all this crime and violence, and let's just pass along the peace and love. That's my message to everyone. It's not really that hard.
That's an admirable message, Pete. And, well, our time is just about up for today, so I want to thank you very much, Pete, for appearing on our show today. And on behalf of our entire Journey to Success broadcast team, I wish you continued success and happiness in all your endeavors. And hopefully we'll get to speak to you when you have your name on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, if it's in the cards and it's God's will, maybe that will happen. I've had a lot of people hit me with accolades like that, saying, you know, we're going to see you get an Oscar or this. And I says, well, you know what? It's not about that. I already have people like you and people like Tom and wonderful people and your whole team and people that I, you know, deal with in life. That's your family, your loved ones. As I said, this is my Lifetime Achievement Award. This is my Oscar. Getting this film done, getting it up there and saying after all the hard work, it was all worthwhile, and this reality show, and all my wonderful cast and crew, and the stars that I've had honor of working with through the years, that, you know, when I listen to their records and watch them on TV and you know, listen to them on the radio, would have never dreamed that later in life I was going to share the stage and the screen with them and in concerts with them, and proudly honored to have many of them attached to my film. So God does make dreams come true. We have to work with him, we have to listen. That's why I think Helen Keller said, God gave us two ears so we can listen more than we speak.
Absolutely.
So when God gives us red flags or high signs, we have to listen and then put them into practice. That's where the application comes in. So I thank you for this time and your whole team and Tom Cunningham. And just it was an honor to have this interview with you. And it was just made my day. Hopefully it'll touch the minds and hearts of a lot of your listeners as well.
Well, I have no doubt that it will, Pete, and thank you again for appearing on our show today, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon here on Journey to Success Radio.
Thank you so much, Dave, and again, the honor was all mine, and God bless you all, and keep up the great work.
Take care, Pete, and God bless you. Thank you again, and have a wonderful week.
Okay, you too.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.